Lord Jesus, Lord, we lift our eyes to you in this time. We're thirsty for you. We're longing for more of you. You're the one from whence our help comes. You, the maker of heaven. You, the creator of the earth. And Lord, we are longing for you, but we pray that prayer, come, Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, come. We need you. You're our only hope. You're our only prayer. And in these moments, we wait for you, for what it is you know we need, what it is you have for us. We look to you. Thirsty, Lord. Come. Thank you for the promise that as we seek for you, we will find you and find your way. And just open up to us as we come to your word, Lord, open up to us the full understanding of that. Just that we go from here with that longing in our hearts, we pray. Holy Spirit, where you've been ministering to people and they've been naming particular things to you, just as we've worshipped, and this is what it is. May grant the hope that yes, you are acting in that scenario, in that circumstance, for good. Amen. 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 If you haven't yet, you're welcome to have a sit down. I'll add my welcome to that of Claire's. If you're a guest with us this morning, my name's Andrew. I'm the lead pastor of Christchurch. And we're going to come and open God's words together now. Do you know what? Whether you're a Lego fan or you've just been to that blue and yellow cathedral they call IKEA, and you've just got some flat pack furniture that you needs assembling, you, like me, will really love the exploded diagrams that help you check and see all the different parts and pieces, and also help you kind of put the whole together. The whole object, of course, is that's the goal, isn't it? But being aware of the different parts, thinking about them and how they all go together is really helpful too, whether that's an engine or a shelving or whatever. So today, the link here is we're in the second of three Sundays looking at Jesus' command to ask, seek, and knock. And basically, the whole thing is like one thing. Jesus is saying virtually the same thing in six different ways within a couple of verses. So that's the whole thing. But what we've done through this series is kind of exploded it out into different things, just looking at different angles, just to see many different ways that we can be asking, seeking, knocking on the door, just so that we might think about that whole thing, which is within the context of our verse for this year, which is, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. We want to ask and seek and knock and keep asking and seeking, keep seeking and keep knocking. So today, it's keep seeking. Just as we were singing and seeking for God. Let me read again the words of Jesus. Verses 7 to 8 of chapter 7 in Matthew's Gospel. You also find it in Luke's Gospel, which we focused on last week. So if you've got a Bible, you can open it, or the Bible app, you've got the sermon outline on there if you want it. We'll have it on the screen. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Luke, we saw last week, sets those two verses within the context of prayer. The disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he does. Our Father in heaven, pray about your daily needs and God's honor and everything. And he told a story about audacious requests and everything. And it's there to encourage us to keep to ask and big requests and keep asking. And that we know God's grace to keep going with it, because God is good. And he gives good things to those who seek him. And if you remember last week, we were saying you could turn these phrases around, because the focus is not on the what we get, like what we receive or finding or something being open. The emphasis of Jesus' teaching, as he says it in the original language, is the ask, the seek, the knock, to remain urgent in our prayers and continue seeking God. Now, today we're going to try and look at Matthew's context for these two verses. He places them in the Sermon on the Mount, which round about this time last year we were in the Beatitudes, which we'll come back to later. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest speech ever. And it brings together Jesus' most important teaching. If you want to live the way of Jesus, if you want to find a full and happy life in him, then these are the attitudes to cultivate, the values and actions to pursue. If you, like me, do Word Live from Scripture Union, it's all been challenged Monday to Friday from these verses in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is inviting us to a whole different way of living. So counter to everything you kind of expect about how we should live. He challenges us not to be stuck in revenge cycles or seek to get back at those who take from us. Rather, they've taken from us, but we're to give more to them. Generosity and so on. He challenges not to just love the nice people around us, that's important, but to love those who oppose us, make life difficult for us, persecute us. Tough talk, Jesus. This is only going to be possible with your help, Jesus. This greatest speech ever includes teaching Jesus' teaching on prayer, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. And Matthew puts it in the context of important disciplines for us. You know, when you give, do it secretly and generously. And when you pray, do it this way. And when you fast, do it this way, and so on. Here, when he's got these words here, the whole bit about prayer is just as important for these words. Seek and you'll find. Keep seeking to discover all that God has for us. So, yeah, last week we focused on this, keep asking. And you might have been like me and been thinking about prayers that are still not answered. When we pray, there are joyful answers to prayer. We were out yesterday just walking with some friends who were visiting us, and we bumped into somebody from church. And they said, and they told us news that has been answered. And this has been like a couple of years of going and asking. Joyful times, see God at work, yes. And yet there are other times where we don't quite see a clear answer and we can't work out what's happening. Or that you've kind of like got to, you think, yes, it's God's answered, but it's like climbing a mountain, you've come to one point and you realize there's more and we're actually right for the next step and the next step. We're still looking to him, we're still seeking him, we're still asking. Because God doesn't just simply, he wants all of our steps to be reliant on him and aligned with his will. Because then when we pray, we're praying for the right kind of things. It's not a genie in a lamp, you know. Rub a lamp and a genie comes and master, what is your wish type thing. Praying in the name of Jesus is this desire to see the world like Jesus sees it, a desire to want the same things that Jesus does for ourselves and for others, and then it's to ask God for those things in accordance with his will, just as we've been doing together as we prayed together for this world that God has made. Praying, then, is like a seeking after God, and it's that relationship with him. And our focus this morning is Jesus saying, keep seeking. Seek and keep seeking. And our exploded diagram, not only have we exploded into ask, seek, and knock, but just, well, what are some of the different ways that we can be seeking God? So we're going to explode that diagram a little bit more. I've got three things to focus on It's actually five. I've cheated, but it's three things, okay? They're keep seeking God, his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, that's kind of two. Keep seeking God's way and his will, because they kind of go together. And keep seeking God himself. And as we do that, let's remember with this exploded diagram, it's about the whole, the big picture. This is earnestly seeking God. And then the encouragement in Jesus' words is, as we remain active in that, he assures us we're going to find what we're seeking. So first, keep seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus launches into that Sermon on the Mount with statements that are going to catch the listener's attention, and then he unpacks them over the next two chapters. Now, if that sounds similar, that's what we were doing this time last year, as I said. And he's much to say about the kingdom of God and God's right and righteousness, being in a right standing with God. So take the beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who have that attitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Crumbs, if that's you, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can see how righteousness and heaven, the kingdom, go together. In other words, the happiness of the kingdom belongs to those who know they're utterly relying and dependent on God, and they're trusting him, even though they're oppressed because of seeking to follow in his way. And again, in the Beatitudes, even right at the start, he's putting the spotlight on the seeking heart. Jesus announces, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For to be right with God, to be right with God, to do the right things that God wants us to do, to get involved in him putting things right in this world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for that, for they will be filled. I love the positive there. It's like, seek and you will find, for the one who seeks, will find, and so on in Jesus' teaching. And as you keep going through the whole of that Sermon on the Mount, right near the center of this greatest speech ever, Jesus reminds each listener there, he says, you're valuable to God, you're valuable to God. And God knows your needs. He does, he knows your needs. So actually, you don't primarily need to get stuck on seeking your needs. They're really important, and God wants to meet your really felt needs for heating, for eating, and so on. But as important as those are, there's a primary focus, even bigger than all of those. And so, in his teaching, Jesus says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. Here we have the context in Matthew's gospel, and the Sermon on the Mount is to keep seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness first. In other words, with higher priority than other things in our lives. Now, that's not straightforward, because all human beings, past, present, and future, we're all born into the kingdom of this world, the Bible calls it. It's someone's called it the normal reality for humanity. And it's under the rulership of the prince of this world, Jesus says. That's another name for Satan. And it's a 3D world. There, where we know things, see things, you know, and live in this. A reality characterized, a 3D characterization of disease, dislocation, disconnection, and so on. Human beings can find themselves at any time trapped in a cycle of brokenness or sin or self-seeking or a struggling and a striving to gain stuff or own stuff. Or for influence, for power. Are you striving for that all the time? You get, that's the kind of normal reality. And most people go through life oblivious of the fact that there is another kingdom. But the king of this other kingdom came. And because he came, he points to what's now open to anyone. And we get the privilege of doing that too. This life in the kingdom of God, tasting this life under God's rulership of our life, learning how to live with it, this restoration movement that Jesus initiates that culminates with God setting all things right. Everything that's wrong in the normal reality of this world, which is under the rule of Satan, Jesus is the chief restorer. And that he is going to rescue this world and restore it. And he starts through that work on the cross and resurrection, and then in each individual life, he speaks and brings life. And then we get invited into his work. That's the work of Jesus. That's the kingdom stuff. There is another kingdom, and we're to seek that kingdom and his righteousness. So my question to myself as I was preparing, and I'm going to share with you, how are we doing? And how do I go about assessing how I'm doing in seeking God's kingdom first and living in right standing with him? And one of my solutions was to commit to take stock periodically in my life. Every quarter, maybe. Maybe you've got different rhythms in your life. You're a teacher, maybe it's every half term or every term and so on. But whatever it is, take stock periodically and say, well, what is shaping my life in this current season? Is it more the values of this world, more focused on self and the striving and the struggling for influence, for gain, for my way in something? Or is it Jesus' words and his value, his joy, his wholeness? Are those the things of the kingdom, his justice, all those type of things? Are they shaping the season that you're in right now? You could do something, I've called it a spending review, all right? Just say, well, what am I spending my time, my money, and my energy on, all right? Just if you bear with me, I'll try and explain what I mean. So what am I spending my money on? You can do that in your banking app and quite easily see. The regular payments and gifts that go out of my bank and then all these other things, just review how that's been over the last 2 or 3 months. What's money gone on, and what does it speak of the kingdom of God and his righteousness and bringing those things? Or is it more about self and gain and all those types of things? What about, what am I spending my time on? It's kind of good to do this periodically. Your phone might do this and say how much time you spent on your phone this week and how many hours were on this particular app and so on. And you can do that. How much scrolling or screen time is on things that inform me of God's values or about seeing God's kingdom come? Or how much of your downtime you find you suddenly spent on online shopping, especially when the January sales have been on, or how much of your time has been spent checking the news, the weather, and all the important sports updates for the nth time that day, you know, one day. Or how much time on endless box sets? I don't know what it is for you. TikTok videos might be your choice. But yeah, what am I spending my time on? And does it reflect king? Where does the kingdom come into those type of things? And I said, what about my energy? What am I spending my energy on? We all have a limited capacity of energy. Our body, mind, spirit, battery. And we seek to recharge it. And then we spend from that. Now, what are the things that recharge my energy levels and what are the things that drain me? That's part of thinking about how you spend your energy. And when you spend your energy on exercise or study or about time with other people, are they bits around where, actually, it involves a seeking God's kingdom and God's values and what's important for faith and other bits and pieces? Or does more of my energy get spent and the battery reduces on non-restful, non-restorative things? Or relationships just don't help? And so on. God loves it when we take stock like this. So I really do encourage you to do that. And you can tweak that a lot to make it work for you. And the thing is, don't get down on yourself when you do something like this. And don't, you know, strive, strain to dig as deep as you can. The key bit is you start to do it. And as you do it, the Holy Spirit often just says, oh, that. And you go, oh, that. And it's not one thing or two things. And then working with God is like, I could change that from here on. And if it's one thing, it can make all the difference in the world. So, yeah. God will help you take stock that you might seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Let's keep seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Secondly, keep seeking God's way and his will. Seek and you'll find. Think about that suggestion is there's a gap. We're not there fully in understanding what God's will is. We can't fully see all the time what the way is that he's asking us to go in. And so we need to seek it. We need proactive effort. It needs to be put into seeking and finding God's way, into seeking out his will. In the Sermon on the Mount, the verses ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, and so on, they're set within a passage where there's a whole load of contrasts that are going on. In other words, choices that we have to make. You know, how am I going to be to others? Will I do to them as I would have them do to me? That's massive, isn't it? And that covers a lot of things. Jesus says, you know, is it judging attitudes? Is your focus condemnation on the actions of others, tiny specks of error, though they might be in that person, rather than reflecting and taking responsibility for a mighty plank that obscures our vision? You know, in other words, the wrong actions in your own life. Which are you going to choose? Which way are you going to choose? There's a narrow path and there's a wide path, and it's the narrow one that leads to life. Will we put the effort in to seek it out in this part of my life, this relationship? Which are you going to choose? True and false, there's that contrast there. True and false prophets, true and false disciples. So are we going to seek his voice? You know, so we can recognize true words that are from God. Are we going to seek to live a life that is true to what God calls us to, that is true in God's eyes? And Jesus says, well, how are you going to build from here on, wisely or foolishly? Wisdom is to hear and put into practice the words and teaching of the Son of God. The foolish choice is to build your life upon just your own opinions. Or actually the default setting of, following what everybody else seems to be doing right now around me, and you just get caught up with that. Wisdom, foolishness, truth or false, narrow or wide, how am I going to be towards others? Practically, this gets seen as we work out, well, God's leading in specific parts of our lives. And our lives, the landscape, never stays static. Bits change. I was thinking about a Scottish politician with the SNP, Kate Forbes. She's a Christian. And so I was thinking about her journey. Why is she a politician? Because she's seeking the kingdom of God first, and justice and values and what's helpful for people. That's so she's been led by God. And then there was a leadership election and she stood for that. And then she got a lot of stick for being an evangelical Christian and some of the things she believed and stood for, and so on. And in all of that, you suddenly, the landscape's changed and you're seeking God. Well, what is it now? What am I listening for now? And then she's God said, backbench, stick with it for now. And then she's announced that she will step down from politics in due course. But can you see how, you know, any of our landscapes can change? It's not a static thing seeking. We seek and we keep seeking in any process that we're with. And that might be just where other people are around us, what they're doing, the different options that are before us at any one point, different choices. What's my choice here about this relationship? I keep coming back to that. I think maybe God's got something for somebody here. Right now. Different ethical decisions to weigh and to consider, different needs becoming more urgent suddenly and so on. In every part of life, we turn to God to know his mind, to be led by him, seek his way and his provision because we need him. And we need the help of others in seeking him. So what is it for you right now? Where are you seeking God's leading and God's angle? You know, Paul speaking to Rome says, lay down your life in worship and your mind and, you know, submit yourself to God. Renewal of your mind because then you'll be able to test what God's will is. So seek him. And you'll keep finding times of waiting. They can be frustrating, aren't they? I'm not just talking about supermarket queues or traffic light, you know, waiting type thing, but the times when you just don't know. You haven't found the way yet. You know, have you got a waiting period in your life? If I said, have I got one, you'd probably think, yes, you have. A second pastor to work alongside me, and so on. For the person God is preparing, God is bringing to our attention and, you know, going to bring to their attention, but we're in a time of waiting. We're in a time of seeking as a search team. Emails going backwards and forwards, we met, and we're seeking God's way. And in those seeking times, you check, are we listening correctly? You reflect over what we think God is getting us to look for, how we've expressed it. And so it's a time of refining our thinking of course corrections, little ones, and so on and so on, that can take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. We look to him. We keep looking and checking. That's our idea. Keep seeking God's way. Don't stop. Keep seeking his will. Don't stop. Because we don't want to miss it at any one point. We're talking about this with my wife, Lorraine, and she said, oh, do you remember the old days when we used to use something called a map when we were going somewhere, one of us driving, the other one's navigating. And there was that point where you missed it in the road because you had to keep looking at the map and you had to keep looking at the road and the signposts and so on. And it was just too easy, wasn't it? It wasn't a voice appearing saying, oh, would you like to turn right soon? Watch out, it's coming up soon and then turn now. You know, you didn't have that. You were the voice. And a beautiful one you were too. It's great. And so, you know, she was just saying, you just have to keep checking. You have to keep looking. And Jesus is saying, seek. You know, the one who finds is the one who's kept seeking. So keep seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Keep seeking his way and his will. And keep seeking God himself. Just so important, isn't it? Yeah, going back to that verse of the year. You, God, are my God. It's you, God, that we're after. Earnestly I seek you. That's who it is. Those announcements at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God, Matthew 5:8. The ultimate goal of the seeking heart is God himself, to see him. Yeah, we don't see him physically, but no, our inward eyes are opened to realize and know him. And we see the whole truth and the freedom. He fully sees and knows us. And we come to know him who fully, fully knows us and still accepts us. And, you know, in his presence, there's joy and delight. Oh, you, God, found me. You have rescued me. You, God, have cleansed me. You now accept me even as I am. You, God, have filled me with yourself and you've committed yourself to finishing this work in my life that you've started. And that's so true. God is at work in your life. That's so true of everybody who's here this morning. That's so exciting. He's going to bring that through to completion. So keep seeking. But seek him. You know, the others are all really important that we've mentioned so far. They're all really important, but none more so than him. I was reflecting on the changing relationship that parents have with children as they grow up through different life phases. I see this for teachers as well, secondary school teachers particularly. You know, children, they grow up and you see them go change it and so on, and you see them become adults. And parents as well. It's that little stage and chaotic stage at the start, and then the fun questioning stage and so on, and then the teen stage. I don't know how you kind of do that. The teen stage. And then adulthood, we hope and pray, and so on. And it doesn't stop. That's what parents told us. You're still parents. And they're like, oh, crumbs, it's a whole lifetime thing, is it? But, you know, I think about one of our boys. He's pretty independent of us in many, many ways. But you know what? He still reaches out and asks us for things. Ask and you'll receive, and so on. Maybe it's, can you help me? Can you get all my stuff from here to there? New accommodation, new place I'm renting. What do you think about, you know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think about that? So, and there's a joy in that asking, isn't there? Lorraine and I, we were out for an evening, going to a concert, and suddenly got a message. It's like, oh, can you have a quick word? Usually you've done appraisals at work, haven't you? I've got my first one that I'm doing for somebody else tomorrow. What's really important? We're like, oh, we're at a concert right now. But anyway. But the thing is, he's also able to say to us, have you ever thought about doing it this way? Have you ever thought about it? It's a two-way street, isn't it? And more than that, it becomes something where it's about simply enjoying spending time together. We were able to do that with one. We went into London, and the goal really was just to spend time together. And part of that was seeing the new place, meeting housemates, going to some of the brunch haunts and shops and just chill out places, but catching up with stuff and so on. Just the delight of being together. It's a great thing. And that's so true for us and God. Asking. He loves that. And we, you know, those who receive are those who keep asking. And it's important with our relationship with God. Seeking his kingdom, seeking his righteousness, his will, and his way. Just seeking to be with him and spend time with him. Seeking him. To grow in your relationship with him. Lay down your life afresh for him, for the one who gave his all for you. Be with him. And the more time we're with him, more time we pour out our heart to him, more time we hear his voice as well through his living word. And the more then, as we hear more about who he is and spend time with him, the more our eyes are open to the fullness of who he is. And the more we're filled with his heart for people, for need and circumstance. And the more his love is awakened in us, more than we would ever realize it could be. And the more that love, as the Apostle Paul puts it, compels us, you know, nudges us into action, flows out to others. So seek and you'll find. For the one who seeks, finds. So let's seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's seek God's will and God's way. And let's make sure seeking involves pursuing God, as the psalmist puts it, pursuing God himself, a proactive effort to seek him, to be with him and be filled with his presence and power. For as the prophet Jeremiah says, you know, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. You, God, my God, earnestly I seek you. I'm going to pray, and the band are going to come up, and we'll respond with a song as well, where we can give to God the honor and the worship that's due, but it's also a telling him, actually, I'm here. I'm here. I have life because of you, so I'm here to live for you. And as we do this, we can just reflect on how we're building on our lives and what he's doing. But let's seek him as we sing this, just as we were in the worship songs before I came. But let me pray first. Lord, we say again, I say again, how I need you, Lord. You're my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will come to you. I will seek you. I will wait on you, the giver of life. Lord, may it be true. The elements of life that I'm looking to you and I'm seeking and crying out to you for, that you will shape my understanding and take me on the way that you want me to. And we will, each of us, find and see you at work. Come, Lord, we pray. Amen.